All right, so third time is a charm. we're off to a great start. So for those that are joining us, first of all, thank you. This is officially what Sean and I are hoping is the first of hopefully many podcasts where we can dive in and talk all things hi-fi. And tonight, with this being our very first, we want to be able to, do some quick introductions for the folks that really are new to either of our channels. They might not have any clue as to how you first saw New Record Day and, how we started talking and how this friendship, evolved over the years. So I figure we'll start with that. And then I definitely want to. I want to ask you a question that came up in a recent conversation with one of our fans about the S400 review, which has been blowing it up, which is really exciting. So I want to do that. And then for tonight's topic, for our very first topic, I figure we might as well cut the BS and just get into something that is a tough topic. We don't want to do, hey, for our first topic, we're going to be talking about speaker positioning. Like, forget that. You
Let's burn
know,
the house
like,
down on the first try. Let's
let's
do it.
burn the house down. Let's, yeah. So we're going to dive into all things money. We're going to talk about what goes into these reviews. Should we be paid for it? What does that look like? And so that's going to be the primary topic tonight. But before we get to that, how did we meet, bro? How did this all happen?
Well, it happened when I reached out to you, actually. And the backstory to that is really pretty simple, which is I discovered New Record Day when I was on YouTube. I was bored. I wasn't watching Pornhub, so I decided, let's check out some hi-fi stuff. And I came across this geeky hipster jack wearing a plaid shirt, which he still does to this day, with a pair of Anthony Gallo, I believe it was the Reference 3.3s, and I had some Rogue gear, and I was like, huh. So I saw the thumbnail and I clicked on it, and it was kind of cool. It was this passionate dude just going on about his audio toys that he loved so much. And I remember seeing some cinder blocks with some pieces of wood in between it that made up his hi-fi rack, which I actually appreciated because I've done that before, so I know exactly what you were going for in that moment. But I thought it was f-ing cool, but I didn't reach out right away. I subscribed, I kept an eye on your work, and as time moved forward, I noticed that it really started to evolve, and you began really taking this pretty seriously. Don't get me wrong, you still had that kind of wide-eyed puppy, expression on the face, like, wow, all of this is awesome and great. But beyond that, I saw passion, I saw a lot of potential, and finally one day I said, you know what? Let me see if I can reach out to him. And lo and behold, you had your own website and your own number was plastered right on that website. So I said, you know what? Let me just give this dumb a call since he wants to plaster his number on the internet. And I decided to give you a call. I introduced myself. I don't even think I mentioned Zero Fidelity until pretty late in the conversation, but I just wanted to give you encouragement because at the time, especially, hardly anybody was talking about this stuff, let alone true high-end audio pieces. So I just wanted to say, hey, look, I follow what you're doing. Keep doing it. And that conversation eventually led to a really great friendship.
Dude, first of all, there's no such things as a Gallo 3.3. So you know what? That's
Wasn't
ridiculous.
it a f***ing reference three?
It's the 3.1s, you dork. It's funny.
3.5. I just looked it up. My bad, f***er. Jesus
No,
Christ.
I had the 3.1s. I never see the thing is I had the 3.1s, which I bought those used on Audiogon. And when the 3.5s came out, man, my heart was broken because it was like $5,000. I was like, no way. Like, I can't
You'd have
do
to sell
that.
some plaid shirts.
I would
Anyways,
have
yeah.
to, that's a lot of plaid shirts. There's no way I'm going to be able to do that.
Yeah.
I remember Facebook, something, who knows? I think it was Audiophiles on a Budget. I see this video of Zero Fidelity reviewing a USB cable, and those guys were, man, they were lighting you on fire. I mean, they were like, look at this guy, talking about a USB cable. Like, here we go
Oh, yeah.
again. Yeah, and you know how it is, man. And it's
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I remember watching it because I think of like of the trouble you were in. I was like, oh yeah, I can't wait to see what this guy has to say. And something pretty amazing happened. And that was, and keep in mind, given context, like, dude, I didn't even have a CD player. I didn't even have a computer to plug in a USB cable, like nothing digital. And here's the thing. All these guys talking right now, every single one of them, they have no idea what it's like to set up a camera, to look at that dead, lifeless piece of equipment staring back at you, and to talk into the camera and to do it like he's doing it. This guy has got like some talent, like some genuine talent and some confidence, and like, man, there was something commanding about it. And I don't want this to be like too self-serving for either of us, but instantly I was like, I know how hard this is. I know how much I struggle with it. And seeing how well he's doing, I was like, bro, you take a look at like how many times you split up your takes. And it was just, I think it was like one take. I'm just like, that gave me a headache for like 5 days. I was like, how did he do that? Sure. You know, and then, yeah, dude. And then shortly after that, I saw the P3 ESR review, and I was just like, again, the guy he really knows his stuff. Like he really, and the way that you were using your words, it was unlike any YouTube video that I had ever seen that has to do with hi-fi, where it's the typical, hey, yeah, I'm Ron from New Record Day, and I really like, you know, it's just like, man, this guy's doing it really different. So, you know, what started with actually quite a bit of respect, you know, on both sides of the party, it really ended up, you know, over the years, like becoming a genuine friendship. And, you know, for those that are listening to us, we talk all the time. Like, I mean, it's almost like now, like if we don't have our bromance phone call for the day, it's like things are just not right in the universe. And so it's going to be fun to kind of just like jump into this and start hashing out a lot of interesting topics, you know?
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah. And I'm half surprised that Sarah isn't wondering if you're not cheating on her out in the open here.
Yeah. So what do we got on the docket today? Like, how do we want to dive into this? What are your thoughts, man?
Well, you know, you said you had a question about the most recent video I posted on S400s. I guess let's start there. And then after that, let's just get into the meat and taters of this thing, man.
Yeah, dude. So S400. Okay. Well, first of all, I mean, congratulations. Like 20,000 views in a week is like, what in the heck is happening with
that? Oh, I have no idea, dude. I really don't.
But you know what? In all honesty, I think it's a fascinating speaker. Like if you, even if just visually, like when audiophiles look at a speaker like that, I think they're just like, is it upside down? Like what is happening with this thing? You know? So you brought up the word density in that review, and that is not a word that Sean from Zero Fidelity uses in every single, you know, review. And you know what it's like coming up with these stupid words. It's just like
it's ridiculous.
But that word was kind of a showstopper for even me that knows you as a friend. I'm like, oh, okay, well now you have my attention, bro. Go, please proceed. Like, what the heck is density? So. Yeah. Flesh that out, man. What exactly did you mean by density?
So density is a word that's not commonly used. I believe actually Steve Guttenberg was the one who mentioned density in a video a long time ago because, you know, he feels that's a very powerful word to use that never really gets tossed around too much. I thought about using it before, but because my videos are unscripted, I hit the camera button and then I just speak. It oftentimes just floats out of my vernacular, but I remembered it for this one. And it's important because when I said density, let me lay it down like this. The idea that a lot of people have for a small speaker is to sound bigger, but physics kind of limits the ability to do so, right? You got to move a lot of air in order to produce a big sound. And thus, most small speakers end up sounding like small speakers. Even if they dig the 30 hertz, you still know you're listening to a bookshelf speaker. And density, when I say that, I'm referring to the ability of the speaker, and in this case, the S400s, to, at a certain point and beyond, in this case, I believe it's like 70 hertz and beyond, to mimic what you would hear from a much larger speaker, like a floor-standing loudspeaker. So that's really and truly it, is does it have that heft, that weight to the sound? It's not just about clarity and speed and detail. Is there actual, when somebody's playing a bass, does it actually sound like there's an actual bass being played in that room, or does it just sound like the suggestion of a bass player? And density basically refers to fullness. Like this small speaker sounds just as full as a much larger speaker from X point and beyond. And that's all it really means, is that this little, you know, tiny monitor, it's not that it'll sound as large as, like, say, Klipsch RF72 or something that uses 2 10-inch or 12-inch or whatever inch woofers. No, no, it doesn't. It just sounds a lot bigger than you would expect it to do, and it does it with absolute confidence. And that's pretty cool, because while they're not the first product I've heard that can do it, the first product I've heard goes to Mark and Daniel, this Chinese company, won tons of awards from Six Moons about a decade ago. They could do it. They could literally make a tiny little half pint of a monitor sound huge. And with that density, right, it sounds like a truly big speaker. Like, if you were blindfolded, I can guarantee you probably 8 out of 10 people are going to fail that blind test.
Yeah.
But the problem is that they made a lot of compromises to get to that one strength. Whereas with Bacart, it's the first time I've heard a speaker this size to pull off the trick of having that density, that fullness, that sound of a bigger speaker, but without that, you know, laundry list of compromises. So that's pretty much what I meant by density, and that's kind of why I celebrated it like I did.
Yeah, dude, have you tried flipping them around to where the waveguide is on top and the woofer is on the bottom? Yeah. What do you think?
No, don't like it.
Not a fan. Okay.
No.
Dude, yeah. So moving on, man. So let's dive in. How do we want to dive into this? How do we want to open up this window to the world of what it takes to be a YouTube hi-fi reviewer, and what goes into this? How do you want to do this?
So I think the first thing that we want to do before we even talk about the prime subject, the controversial subject of money.
Yeah.
Let's give people context as to what goes into creating these videos, because even a piece of channel like Zero Fidelity with almost no production value whatsoever, people would be shocked at how much time goes into each of those videos. And I think it's really important to just give people a no bull raw insight. Like, here is the grind, man. Here is the process. Here's what you're going to have to deal with every time. And now we can have a conversation about, well, what do you think that's worth? Is it fair for a content creator who's going through all of this to say, hey, I need to get something in return for this? So I think let's set it up by just going through what that process is like. And what I'll do is, since this is going to go to your channel, I'll let you kind of take the lead, and then I'll just spout off with what I go through on my end.
First of all, I think that things are obviously different, and this is something that I had to think long and hard about. You know, for those that don't know anything about New Record Day, I took a year off, right?
Yeah.
And prior to that, what ended up being a review was really like a production that was – there was a lot of spinning plates, or I was juggling a lot of different things. So what would start with just, you know, I've got the, and I'll let you kind of take like the pioneering type work of reaching out to the manufacturer, you know, when you have a chance to speak into this, but you know, so I'll kick off. I have the product. So I've already done the work that you're going to be talking about, but I have the product in my hands, and I set it up and I start listening to it. Well, I'm now like jotting notes, you know, I'm trying to observe like certain things and getting a basis, you know, trying to like build this from the ground up. And then that would in turn turn into a script, right? So everything that I was doing was all scripted out to where I know that part of my production and part of my comfort level of what I ended up crafting was, I'm going to tell this like a story. And so a script works for this. And so I'm going to try to write this all out, and I don't write well. Like, that was something I always struggled with. And so, you know, you do that, you get that done. That takes, you know, a good week, you know, to flesh out everything that you want to say and get it all right. You know, I give it to Sarah. She's like, this is all like, this is terrible. You know, so then I'm having to go back and like fix things and give it back to her. And she's like, okay, this you could probably get away with now. It's not bad.
Yeah.
You know, so then it was a matter of like, literally, bro, like tearing down like some of my acoustic treatment and setting it up with, you know, like a gobo style with a microphone and, you know, getting up close to that mic and doing my whole spiel and getting the voiceover done. And that in itself was hell, because it's like, you wrote it. You've spent the last week agonizing over it, and you can't say the word treble? Like, what is wrong with you, you know?
Yeah, and, dude, I know the struggle all too well.
Dude, yeah, so you do that. You bring it into Final Cut. You have it all fixed. You have it all laid out. Well, then it's like, okay, well, now I got to start filming. So it's like you're now going back to the very beginning, that first opening. And then for me, it's like that's actually the fun time for me is like, well, how do I get creative with this? How do I do
– Yeah.
Yeah, how do I do these shots? You know, pan shots galore, as you know. And that was it. So you finish that all up. You tidy that all up. You spit it out of your computer. You upload it into YouTube. You know, you fill out your description on there. You do your links. And then for me, my job still wasn't done because I have a website. So I've done everything from the ground up. I had to learn WordPress. I had to build my own website. I did all of that stuff. And so now I'm going over, I'm building that page out. I'm fleshing that all out. I'm importing everything in there. I'm cleaning that up, making sure it looks good. And then you send like this whole package, like everything you have to the manufacturer. And they're like, oh, hey, you know, this one part, we don't really like this. Can you just change this? And I'm like, oh, man. And honestly, that was my life, bro. Like, here we go. You know, and it was my baby. Like, I put a lot of effort and time and heart into it. And look, it's not like I don't want anyone to think that like every single it's not like us and them. It's not like they're all evil. And every single review that I sent, they were like, hey, can you change this because we don't like it? It might have been something that was like logistical. Like I actually said something that's not correct, you know? And so even still, that's not an easy fix when you're done. You know, it's like, well, now I got to go back and, you know, fix all this stuff and piece this together and, you know, put a Band-Aid on it. Sure. And so that was my process. And, you know, for those that have watched the Sprout review, like it's different now. Like I, you know, it's like out with a lot of that. Like I can't do that anymore. It's not going to work. You know, Georgia demands way too much attention. And quite frankly, bro, it's like I want to be there for her. You know, it's like I don't want this to be so consuming that I don't get to spend time with my daughter. And so, yeah, that's so you take it from there. So like that's just like the new record day production of it. But there's so much more to it than even that. So jump right in. Feel free.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So before I even begin on my dissertation, two quick things. Number one of the key things that you missed out, even from the new record day process, is in all the years that we've been speaking, you became very obsessed over all the little details. So it got to the point to where, you know, it became a job to you instead of a source of pleasure. And that is a very real consequence of investing so much time into your craft. And I think that break was actually very good for you. And number two, I also need to make it clear to those people who are listening right now that this isn't really a wine fest, like, oh, poor us, you know, because we make the conscious decision to produce these videos and to go through all the because at the end of the day, maybe we're masochists, but we actually like the process. Through it all, there's joy to be had through what it is that we're doing, and we have our reasons for that. But as far as the process itself, well, first let's talk about just the very beginning, the process of acquiring gear. It's a core process, a lot like a David Attenborough, like you know, this basically just recording like two birds that are mating with each other. It's a lot like that when it comes to trying to acquire gear. You have to introduce yourself. You have to say, this is who I am, this is what I'm about, this is how I work. And then they have to basically check out your stuff. Then you get together with the manufacturer or distributor and you decide on which product to review. There's tons of emails, tons of phone calls. That takes takes up a significant amount of my time. And then of course, when manufacturers decide to finally send you something, there's going to be signature delivery. So now you need to make sure that you're home to actually receive it, or else now it becomes a game of tag with UPS or FedEx or however decided to ship it. Then, depending on the products and how many products you have, you could be storing tons and tons of boxes. Basically, your living area becomes a warehouse. It's true. It's ridiculous. Now, thankfully, yeah. I'm single. I don't have to really worry about it. Unlike you, I don't have a wife that's going to get mad. I don't have a kid who's going to see these boxes as a castle. So I don't have to worry about that. But still, storing all the boxes is a pain in the butt, especially when you start getting to the big boy gear. Yeah. Oh, my God. I mean, that's a nightmare. Yeah. And then there's the stress of taking care of somebody else's property. Now, granted, for a full disclosure for people who don't know, when a manufacturer sends you something to review, that property is their responsibility. They better have good insurance. And let me tell you, most of them never put insurance on it. But the reviewer isn't really culpable for damages. So if your house is broken into and or there's a natural disaster, I mean, it's on them. But even despite that, there's this instinctive need to take care of somebody else's stuff and to not scratch it up. And quite frankly, when you're constantly moving gear around, that's difficult to avoid. I mean, it really is.
Yeah.
Then there's the process of breaking in the product. Now, granted, there are plenty of occasions to where I don't experience a break-in with products, so it's a non-issue. But there are plenty of circumstances, most recently the Bekaert S400s and the Harbeth P3 ESRs, that require a ridiculous amount of time.
Yeah.
And guess what? It's going to be on you, because unless you're an A-list reviewer, they're not going to break for you. That's going to be up to you. So there goes hundreds of hours of your time just to break into product, depending on what it is. You have the actual listening process, you know, the actual thing that leads to the review. Yeah, there's that. And that takes a lot of time. And people would think, oh, well, that's got to be the fun part, right? It can be fun. It can be fun. But at the same time, it's real work, because you're listening with your critical ear. Now, if the gear's really good and or it just connects with you, now that's when it turns to real fun. That's when if it moves you emotionally, it can take you out of reviewer mode. But by and large, these guys are kind of waiting for you to produce a review, and you're very much aware of that. So when you do listen, more times than not, it's as a reviewer and not necessarily as a music lover. And that's kind of the ugly truth there. There's the note-taking.
Yeah,
I don't necessarily take notes because I have a giant ego, but I used to take notes. And let's be honest, when you have a whole bunch of notes to go through, you need to read through them, organize them. Pictures. You know? I believe it or not, even though I use a shitty dying camera, a lot of work and time and effort goes into taking some of those pictures. I think the most famous example would be the Totem Acoustic Hawk, where I hauled the literally a quarter mile into my local park next to some cherry blossom trees. I look like a jackass, right? And I'm taking all these pictures. They turned out wonderful. Nobody, and I can safely say this, nobody, not even Totem, has ever taken a picture of their own product, or at least of the Hawk, like this. I didn't even get a mention.
Nobody not cares.
Even 1 ounce of acknowledgement from pretty much anybody. And I'm like, Jesus.
You look like a weirdo for no reason. Nobody cares.
I'm a jackass for no reason. So it's like, okay, but that's on me. I don't have to go to those measures. But, you know, sometimes you are going to go to those measures. And speaking of measures, well, what about if you want to provide measurements for people?
Oh, yeah.
What if you want to measure the impedance of a loudspeaker or something like that? Well, number one, you need to buy the tools. Then you need to study up on how to actually take proper measurements. You're going to do frequency response graphs, which is another topic for another day. You know how I feel about that. But you need to learn how to properly do it.
Yeah.
And all of this takes time. It takes money. What about sound clips?
Yeah.
You and I hate sound clips, but it's what people want. And if you want to take something that doesn't suck, guess what? You're going to have to invest in something that's going to sound decent. And usually that's going to be, I think in your case, what, $1,000 is how much you spend?
Yeah. Like just in mics alone, bro, let alone like, you know, my interface and mic preamps and all that stuff, because you're right. It's like you entertain that idea thinking, I hate everything about this concept, but I'm sick and tired of every review that I'm posting. You have not just a couple, but quite a few dudes out there. They're like, where's the sound clips? Where's this? So you're like, it's not that we don't want to do it. It's that we want to find a way to do it the right way. And that is the challenge. Yeah. That's the hard part.
It is. So. It's definitely a challenge. And plus, you mentioned something I forgot to mention, which was the investment in hardware. You know, it's not like a written review to where your entire investment is, a computer that you probably already have in your time. And it's not to say that written reviews are easy. They're actually not, especially the people who pump out, like, you know, 4 or 5 reviews a month, written reviews. I don't know how they do it, man. That's difficult stuff to find a way to craft a written review. That's going to be scrutinized a lot harder than human speech, right? People will give you and I a little bit of wiggle room to make errors. Not so much when it's written down on paper. So I don't want to make it sound like writing reviews is easy, but it's like the investment is next to nada. So there's that. And then what about taking the time to film the video? What people don't see is how ridiculous it is. And you hit on a point that you just can't appreciate unless you've been in this position before, which is mispronouncing words you've never mispronounced in your entire life.
Ever.
Yeah. It's like you grew up on a stupid farm and ate stupid seeds your whole life. It's ridiculous. So you have to, here you are, you're rocking and rolling and you think you have a good take, and then blah, 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 blah. Okay, we got to restart all over again. And on top of that, what about interruptions? You have a kid. Your kid's going to interrupt the hell out of you. You have a wife. She'll probably interrupt the hell out of you when you're on a roll. I don't have either of those things, but I have some medical issues, most notably pretty bad acid reflux. So it's really tough for me to get through any of these videos without having, you know, kind of a flare up. So I'm constantly having to stop at the end of a good take and redo the entire thing all over again. You know, so it's, and it makes you go mad. It makes you go insane. People, if any of you out there have seen the reactions of gamers, like, who are just flipping their that's what I have done. I have thrown things. I've yelled. I've sworn up and down, this is the last time. I'm done. Like, it's, I've been there before. I don't know, Ron, I don't know if you've been there before or freaked out Sarah before, but it's easy to get pretty angry with this stuff.
Not, you know, in the early days, yes. You know, and if you know, and you might know this because you were watching some of the earlier videos, it's like after the end credits would roll, I would always have those bloopers because that's what was happening. Is I was just like, I couldn't do it, you know. And dude, there were times where I would get pretty pissed off. I was just like, I want to smash something right now. And then you got to, you know, get your composure. And then the first thing you say is wrong again. And, you know, and it's like, oh, man, this is not funny. You know, and another thing, dude, thinking about it, and a lot of people don't even know this, like, I've actually, so my earliest stuff was filmed on an iPhone. A lot of people don't know that, but it was filmed on an iPhone. But when I made the transition into, you know, my Canon 70D, I have a flip out screen. You don't even have that. So it's and I think your is all broken. So it's like, you know,
It's broken. Completely broken. It stops recording in the middle of recording, and I have no indication because the light that indicates when you're recording is not facing me. I have no clue what I look like if it's actually recording. I just find out when I'm done.
Dude, it's a new record day video or a zero fidelity review. It does not happen over a weekend. This takes a lot of time, a lot of effort. Even, you know, even like you were saying, just the assessment of the product alone, you know, it's almost scary when something sounds great right out of the box because you're like, well, now I got to make it not sound good. I need to start messing with a different power amp, or because we don't know what the hell somebody's going to be using with it. We can only guess. So it's like you have, that's the thing, is people, they don't realize that it's not a linear A to Z. You're actually investigating. You're on this investigative journey to try to figure out, how do I piece this puzzle together to where when I present this, I'm able to help people make the right decision if they want to move forward with something like this, you know?
It's difficult, and that's one of the most difficult to define things at all, all, because in order to craft a review that is reliable, you know, honesty should always be a part of it. I'm talking about reliable. Somebody could see this review and they know exactly what they're getting into. That requires a significant amount of experience. You have to really and truly have heard a lot. You have to have at least a rudimentary understanding of how things work. And again, you don't have to be a genius about it, but at least a very basic understanding. Okay, this is how a horn works. This is how this material interacts. This is how this type of amplifier behaves, et cetera, et cetera. In order to really be able to connect all these dots and put them together in a way that makes sense to the widest variety of people possible. And that takes years and years and years of experience, active experience, in order to be able to do that. And when you culminate this all together, the investment in the hardware, the investment of time, the investment of experience, and the one factor that I forgot to mention was support. That's the one thing about YouTube is it's so wonderful because it connects you to the people in a sense that it allows you to build this community and it allows you the opportunity to interact with the community, which is honestly the only reason why I still f-ing do it, because otherwise I can't stand it. But I absolutely love the fact that you can have conversations with people real time just about, and it's something that you don't find with the other traditional means of reviewing hi-fi gear, and it's one of the reasons why I was drawn to YouTube. But it does also demand your time and attention on top of everything that you just did when you thought it was done and over. Well, now comes the part of interacting with the fans, the people who put their time, you know, their life, you know, parts of their life, I should say, into watching what it is that you have to say. I think it's only fair to respect them by giving them, you know, attention and a response. So that leads us to the money. Now that people actually have a little bit more of an idea of what goes on and what goes into these videos, and that it's not just an overnight thing. Well, unless it's zero fidelity ranting. now let's talk about money, because here's where you and I are very different. You know, for me, it's a volunteer gig. It's something I do for fun. It's something I do because I'm passionate. It's not a business. It's not even a brand. You know, that's my thing. Whereas New Record Day started off kind of like a zero fidelity, but quickly became much more than that as you began to invest all these different things into it. And now, not to spoil it, but I mean, now we have been talking about whether or not New Record Day is going to become a legitimate business, and whether or not you're going to push to make it something more than just, gee, this is a fun hobby. So that brings us to money. Number one, do you think it's fair that a YouTuber in particular gets money for what they do?
I do. I do think it's fair. And I think that the devil is in the details. Like, let's be real about it. You know, it's like, I don't mind sharing this at all. Like, I'm going to be really transparent. You know, if we subtract the year that I took off, we have 4 years of New Record Day, and there's, you know, 100 videos on there in total. So that's a lot of work. And if we kind of take this attitude, hey, hold on. No. You made the decision, Ron, to be on YouTube. You can click on the monetize button like a big boy, and I have from day one. And whatever you get, you know, whatever your earnings are from YouTube, that's fair, man. That's what you get, and you should stop complaining about it, or this just isn't the gig for you. If we take that attitude, like, and that's, I guess that's a fair attitude. You know, it, some people might feel that way. Well, we got to talk about the input versus the output. I can tell you that for all of the work that I just described, you know, 4 years of a lot of really hard work, I would be getting around a $5,000 paycheck today for the entire, and that's after tax, right? So that is for the entire body. That is the value output that YouTube feels that I deserve for the advertising that is done by YouTube generated ads for New Record Day. And I hate to be blunt, but I can't continue telling my wife, hey, babe, take a hike so I can spend the entire day, you know, filming and doing all this stuff. You know, it just doesn't add up, bro. So the devil is in the details in terms of, should we be paid? Yes. How we are paid, and that is kind of an interesting conversation that I think we can dive into.
Sure.
Because thinking about all the things that I can improve, all of these crazy ass ideas that I have moving forward, I'm going, I missed my fans. I missed the challenge. I missed the challenge in doing this. I missed the, you know, the ability to be able to call Sean and say, all right, bro, roast me. Where did I go wrong on this one? And kind of hash it out with you. I miss that. And I miss that game. I miss that, like, growing, like a genuine growing experience. And, you know, for me, it's like, when, as the chips fall, you just have to figure out, what is your mission? For me, the mission is moving forward that I would love to do this full time. I want to quit my damn job. I don't want to drive into work anymore. I love what I do when it comes to making the videos.
It's
there's my passion. That's what, because I'm sitting here thinking, bro, if I could do this full time, people think that my stuff looks interesting now. They have no idea. You know, and it would be for the community, it would be for the fans. It's like I could spin out so much more content. I could travel more. I could, you know, hit up different factories and talk to people and have more interviews and like really get more immersed in this in a way that, quite frankly, I can't do that if after 5 years I'm handed a $5,000 paycheck.
Sure, there has to be something in it for you. And here's the thing, when it comes to, you know, the main question of should you get paid, I mean, I definitely have the attitude of, if you are passionate about something, if you put a lot of your time into it, if you're good at what you do, if you're offering a valuable service to people that other people benefit from, then absolutely you should take something in exchange for that service. No questions about it. And if somebody has a problem with that, they can go themselves. You feel like there's a moral conflict there, that's fine. I bet you've probably not done this before to any serious degree. And I don't really care about people who feel like that kind of situation should always be done for free. I'm the dumbass who's decided to do it for free, but that's fine because I like not having an obligation to a damned person, to include even my own audience. If I want to go off for about a month or a year, okay, fine, cool. You know, it's not costing me anything because I am not in this to, you know, gain notoriety or to even do this as a career, which is what you would love to do. And there's a very difference in our there's a stark difference in our approach because of those different ideals and especially ambitions. And yeah, I think for what it is that you do, people need to understand, it's like, you know, you are a family man. You have a wife. You need to be a good husband and a good father.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot of time away from those two important things for you to be able to create the kind of videos that you offer. That's why you don't see a lot of like that on YouTube, because there's not a lot of advertisement money coming in from YouTube to make it worthwhile. Even channels like Z Reviews and Kirby Meets Audio, they make next to nothing off of their YouTube videos, just because Rolex isn't going to beat their doors down to say, oh my God, you talk about hi-fi, we want in. Like, no, hell no, that's not how it works. Yeah. So I think it's important to mention those things. But on the topic of money, so I'm going to just, you know, because you and I speak, I, you know, have a keen understanding of what goes on behind the scenes with New Record Day. So yeah, I'd like to give you the opportunity to talk about when you felt comfortable enough to finally charge somebody for your work. And you said, you know what, this is worth something. I have a product now and a portfolio now. Let me actually, you know, just see what happens.
So for me, a big wake-up call was my first audio show, because like I got my business cards. I got a t-shirt made, you know, with New Record Day on there, and I bought my plane ticket, and I left my wife and my, at that time, my newborn baby girl. And I went out and I introduced myself to a bunch of people, and I was awkward, and I was nervous, and I was scared. And yeah, there were a couple of fans out there like, dude, Ron from New Record Day, and that was awesome and exciting.
Yeah.
And all, you know, and but what smacked me in the face was, holy crap, I am working really hard, and this is not all fun anymore. Like, I'm like packing all this damn gear. I'm sweating. I'm going up and down these flights of stairs, you know, walking into a room, timid, kind of nervous. You're trying hard to like do something and make something work. And I look back on that like flight home, and I was just sitting there thinking, I was like, I love what I do. I care about what I do. I want to be able to share it with people, but holy crap, this is not easy. This is hard work. This I'm actually working, right? I'm on the clock. Yeah. And so I think there was a transition, and I don't want anyone to think that after that, I started asking for money for every single review. And to answer your question, even to this day, it's never been comfortable. You know, the review is out, and then you send that little email like, so what did you think, you know? And Yeah. You fire that off and your fingers are crossed, and I'm genuinely blessed that more often than not the response I got was holy shit, like that that was rad, like wow, like you wowed us. And so yeah. That started kind of giving me the confidence saying, well, hey man, you know, here's my analytics, here's my traffic, here's my website, I got space to advertise, are you interested? And you know, sometimes it might land on, well, hey, you know, it's not in our budget. You seem to really like these speakers. Do you want to, do an exchange? Do you want to, consider that, and there were times where I would do that. And there were times where, money was exchanged for an ad, and that's how it was initially, spun, is like, you're paying for advertising on my website. You believe in what I do. And you know what? I will defend myself in saying this. It was never, hey, I'll give you a good review if you pay me. Not once. That has never come out of my mouth. Sure. It was always after it was done, after the dust was settled, hey, do you guys want to support me? And there were a lot of situations where I got a lot of hookups, and it was awesome, and it was great.
Sure. Yeah. And I think the big question that a lot of people are going to have is, when you get these hookups or financial support, because it pretty much amounts to the same damn thing, really.
Yeah.
How can you not let that influence you? When you start to accept these kind of things from companies, how can that, how are you going to handle it when you come across a product that you think is as good, if not even better, in some or all areas? Do you have the fortitude to really just say, hey, I got to say this because it's not about the manufacturer. It's not even about me. It's about the audience. It's about the person who's going to pay their hard-earned cash for, based off of my word. Like, I think that's always going to be at the back of anybody's mind who knows that, okay, this reviewer's getting stuff in exchange for what they're doing from the people supplying them with the gear. So I guess that's my first hardball question to you is, how would you manage that if, you come across a device, a product that outperforms something that you were just outright, given?
Being honest, it was really hard. And, taking the year off, I think that's one of the things that I had to really sit down and kind of fight that demon inside of me of where am I going to get myself in trouble? And one of those is I got to say goodbye to the script. I can't sit there and obsess over flowery bull. I got fireflies in my soundstage and all this crap, and the evidence is already out there with the Sprout review is it doesn't need to be flowery. It can be real. Yeah. I can be calm about it. And I can just be like, it's good. Is it perfect? No. And you know what? At the end of the day, to this day, I don't know how much PS Audio loved the review. They seem to like it, but for me, it's like, to answer your question, I'm not trying to squirm away from it. I'm acknowledging that was very difficult. Like one of the big ones that I know a lot of people talk about is the Ryans, and it's like when I got those R610s, and this, we've talked about those speakers to death. If you look at my channel, and you look at everything that led up to the Ryans, well, it's the first high performance bookshelf that you've had, you dodo brain. Calm down.
Yep.
It's like you said when you did the follow up review, I don't question Ron's enthusiasm. Nope, can't question that. He was excited. He was genuinely excited, but has he experienced enough to where he can look at everything and then say, okay, everybody, in context, let's line this all up and figure this out now. And I made a lot of mistakes, genuine mistakes of here's my first high performance loudspeaker, which, and don't get me wrong, I do not want anyone to think that this is me saying I don't like the R610s anymore. That's not true. What I am saying is a genuine mistake that I made at that time was, here's a golden award and here's this. And it's like, dude, calm down. It's okay to like the speakers, but it's a tough one, dude. It's hard.
Yeah. And I'd imagine that most people wouldn't give a shit so long as you could have the inner courage and strength to just make it clear to whoever you're working with and hey, I appreciate the support, but this doesn't guarantee, rave reviews. It doesn't guarantee much of anything other than I will always be fair to you and treat you with respect. But if something comes around that I like, that I think does something better, I'm going to mention it. That's just a part of our arrangement. And if you actually follow through with that in your videos, I don't think people are going to have a problem with it. It's when you have that inner conflict of, oh gosh, I don't know what to do. They're my friends. They're my blah. Then that's when it does become a genuine issue. And I think it's something a lot of reviewers struggle with, whether they get gear or not. You do develop friendships and relationships with people behind the scenes, and it can sometimes really make life difficult. And this is something any reviewer has gone through, whether it's an A-lister, whether it's a guy who's just getting started. We've all been there before. And I think it's how you handle those situations that really kind of set up what kind of person, what kind of reviewer you will eventually be in the future. So, because of, you know, New Record Day deciding, hey, you know, we're going to do this advertisement thing, I guess this leads to the question of, okay, so you're going to charge people, right? You decided, I have a product, it's worth something, I'm busting my ass for this, and the only way I can keep doing this is to, I got to get something in return for it, man. I just have to, whether it's from fans, from manufacturers, I need to just find a way to generate revenue so I can start doing this full time. But how do you start to charge people? And let me, before you answer, let me, you know, frame it like this. How do you charge somebody? How do you determine a rate? And can you make it fair for everybody? Because let's say a small company comes up to you, they approach you, you don't approach them, and there is a difference there. So they approach you saying, Ron, we really love what you do. Here's what we have. And having actually run a business, you know, hi-fi business before, and a pretty damn successful one at that, I know all the nuances and all the costs that go into this, you know, thing, whether it's a distribution company, just a regular dealer. And a lot of these small companies really don't have money to give. They don't have product to give. So are you going to slam the door in their face because they can't give you anything? And if the answer is no, I'm not going to do that, that's mean. Okay, well, what about the company that has money? Are you going to charge them just because they're successful and the other guy isn't? How is that fair? So, you know, that's the question I have now is like, okay, so you're going to start charging. How do you do it?
Yeah, and that's a wrap, guys. I guess we're done with tonight's podcast.
If it's uncomfortable for you, I'd like to throw out an idea. And it's not my idea. This comes from a reviewer named Srejan, who's run Six Moons. A long time now. Yeah. And he did something years ago, after I think about 10 years of doing Six Moons. And at one point, hands down the most influential – I've been having a lot of wine tonight, guys. I'm sorry. influential reviewers between like 2004 and 2008, I would say. So Six Moons had quite a big following. But at some point, and I think it was 2010 or 11, he said, you know what? I'm not doing this for free anymore for these guys. You have to pay me something to work with me. Now, it's going to be a small fee. It's going to be small. I'm not going to charge a lot, but I am going to charge something to get this review. There's no guarantees on what's going to be said. You're not paying for – it's not going to be a paid review in that traditional, oh, it's going to be a thumbs-up review. You're paying for my time out of respect to the process.
Yeah.
That is an interesting idea because now everyone's pretty much on the same playing field, and what you could do on the back end is say, oh, and if you really like this, then you can, you know, support me via this way. Or if you want to work on multiple projects together, now we can talk about an actual business relationship versus, you know, being stuck in this, well, how do I charge people? Because it's a small industry, dude. It's not going to take much time for word to get around that, what, I had to pay X amount. You paid nothing?
Yeah.
Let's call up Ron. We're going to have a talk.
Yeah.
So again, just an idea worth chewing on, but I think it's so far proven to be pretty effective. He doesn't have too many problems acquiring stuff, and people still respect his work. I actually think his work has gotten better for it.
Interesting.
Honestly.
Yeah. But, interesting.
And I guess that's the other thing is, again, you know, just figuring out how to keep the process fair for the manufacturers and also fair for the viewers as well.
I am thinking about it a lot, and I'm thinking about it with my head, and I'm thinking about it with my heart, and I'm trying to figure this out. So it's not easy. It's not simple. You know, it's like I am considering a lot of things that, you know, that really would need the support from the fans, which would be Patreon, considering that, looking into the, you know, that is an option to try to build this up from a lot of different avenues, not just from, hey, it's all about the manufacturers. It's all about the manufacturers. I would love to get the support from my fans. And I do think that there are some fans out there that wouldn't mind floating me a couple of bucks a month. And so, you know, there's a lot of things that I'm taking into consideration right now. And I don't have a concrete answer right now, but the goal is to do this full time. And I got to figure out a way to where I can sell that to my wife and I can put food on the table for my daughter and the bills are paid. Everybody's happy, including the fans of New Record Day.
I don't know if it's that tough when you really sit down and think of it, because I think you're so close to the situation, it's tough to navigate. It's like when you're going through a relationship issue. Sometimes it takes a third party to have clarity. I think at the end of the day, the content you produce is unique. Nobody else is doing it. It's a value to the business. Pretty much everybody recognizes that. I think, can you keep it honest? I think that's all anybody's going to want to know is, can you deliver on the content, number one? And then number two, can you keep it honest? People pretty much aren't going to give a if you're taking in money, provided they know that money isn't influencing what it is you have to say. But if it does influence it and it's pretty obvious, then yeah, you're in trouble. But I don't have that concern with you. I think it's just a matter of, you know, making it clear to whoever supports you that you appreciate it. There's certain things that you can do as far as banners and so on and so forth. But at the end of the day, you know, you have to be as honest as you possibly can be in every assessment, not only in that moment, but also well into the future.
Hopefully that's the case.
Well, dude, I think, I think... I can speak for a lot of people when I think when I say the PS audio video that you just did is such a great step in the right direction, because we've had conversations before about the kind of content I think this industry really needs. And while the stuff you did beforehand was cool and yeah, it's pretty yay and all that good, you know, it still had that kind of commercial-esque tone to it. I think what you're doing now is a lot more raw and gritty. It's more the Ron that I know. Yeah. And I think it doesn't take a genius for somebody who doesn't even know you to figure out that, like this is pretty cool. This is dinner and dessert here. We're getting the prettiness, but we're also getting that grittiness as well. I don't feel like I'm being sold something. I feel like I'm taking a journey with somebody. And I think that's what people want. And if you can put that together in a pretty well thought out package, I mean, there it is. And again, I think the question of finances and whatnot, I think if you do a good job and you hustle enough, that money's going to come. People are going to support you at every end, whether it's your audience or whether it's the manufacturers and just the industry as a whole. I mean, dude, you've already gotten way more support than Zero Fidelity ever will as far as opportunities. In fact, I don't mind putting this on record. Zero Fidelity, I rarely reach out for product samples, especially within the past year. It just rarely happens. But I'm not unafraid to admit that I get the door shut in my face quite a bit. People take one look at Zero Fidelity. They see the shitty production value. They see the fact that, you know, I do things the way that I do things, and most of them don't want to touch it. And I can actually respect that because it's not as, even though I'd like to say Zero Fidelity provides something of a valuable service to the community, it's not really what this industry needs to move forward, at least on a valuable platform like YouTube. So I think New Record Day is going to be more of what that recipe looks like.
Well, dude, give yourself more credit than that. I mean, you know, I hear what you're saying, but I think that it's frustrating, and we have these conversations. You do get doors slammed in your face, and I think it's a damn shame. And dude, you know that from day one I was like, can we do like a crowdfunding for a new freaking camera and some like I'm not asking you to put on a dress, bro. I mean, but let's do something to clean this up a little bit, you know, for crying out loud. But what you do is incredibly valuable to the end user. To and that, for me, that is where my heart is. Like, the manufacturers, they're going to be okay. They're going to keep making products. They're going to be just fine. Sure. But at the end of the day, where you and I, where our heart is we're thinking about that kid that is sitting there with his thrift store find, and he's saved up his hard-earned money. He's been working overnight, and he's going, what am I going to buy next? And that's the kid where my heart is. It's like, how do we help that kid make the right decision, get them into the right freaking product, And bro, I think that you do that honestly better than anybody out there. Like, and I've said that from I mean that, dude. It's like, I really feel like you do have, you have a natural gift of being able to clearly articulate the performance of a product. And that is not easy to do. It's not easy to do. My sleight of hand worked for a really long time, and I'm now playing catch up. You know, it's like, how do I converge that? How do I bring that together to where I'm still getting that satisfaction of the pretty shots, and I'm still having fun with the production and the lighting and all that crap. And, you know, for that to be recognized, that's a challenge, and that's like an art form in itself. But how do I help that kid? How do I help the next person make the right decision?
Yeah.
In buying the Sprout or whatever the hell is next. That's where my heart is.
Absolutely. And I think to summarize and to wrap up this podcast, I mean, my final thoughts is going to be repetition. So with the subject at hand, given the work that goes into, you know, crafting something specifically like a new record day video, because let's not bullshit, that's an entirely different process from zero fidelity. Yes, there's actually quite a bit more work than you would think that would go into a zero fidelity video, but it's not even a quarter of what goes into a new record day video. And at the end of the day, I maintain the mindset of, if you work hard to create a product or service, and if you're good at what you do and it provides value, then you should absolutely get something for it. And so long as this arrangement doesn't really override honesty and good intention,
yeah,
then I think that it is absolutely okay. I have no problems with it. And I have a funny feeling I'm not going to be alone with that sentiment.
Yeah. Awesome, man. I think that's a wrap, dude. I'm right there with you.
Cool. I sound like I exhausted the shit out of you. So yeah, it might be time to wrap this up.
Well, I am 40 today, so I guess I need to like drink some warm milk and
take some
ibuprofen. Also, I will be sending you an invoice for this podcast. So that'll be the first step of trying to make some money out of this crap. Yeah. So I will be doing
I hope you like stale Oreos, because that's all you're gonna get. And a sheep. All right, man. Well, it was a joy talking to you as always, and hopefully people have gotten something out of this aside from the fact that we're both jackasses.
Yeah, dude. Well, until next time, we'll be on the phone. We'll try to hash out some more interesting topics, and we'll jump back into this mess and try to figure it out together.
Yeah, and also, before we leave here, if you guys, to the few of you who are still left listening to this, if you like this, please let us know. That way we can do this again. And by all means, suggest topics. Nothing's really off limits. I'm afraid to go there.
All right, buddy. I'll give you a buzz tomorrow, and we'll go from there, dude.
Sounds good. Have a good night.
Yep, good night.